being ahead of the contractions, which like it means nothing to you right now, but like it will when you're into it, like as a partner, trying to be ahead of it, knowing that it's coming and making sure your partner feels relaxed and is ready for the contraction that's coming so that she's not anxious when it's there. It's that she's relaxed and in a good place. So she's essentially breathing through it. Like if I were like talking about it from exercising, it'd be more like doing yoga as opposed to lifting. You're trying to relax your body to like stretch it out and let your body do work versus like when you're about to do big lifting, which is what the pushing side of it is.
Getting pregnant and giving birth are two of the most exciting things you can ever hope to experience in this life. The moment you think you could be pregnant, you're frantically searching for all the best information, which is why you're here today. I'm Stephanie King, and with my many years of experience as a professional childbirth educator, doula, and lover of all things pregnancy, birth, and postpartum, I'm here to make preparing for your birth enjoyable, empowering, and totally easy. Each week, I'll cover different topics, interview professionals, and get into the nitty-gritty birth stories from mamas just like you. And when you're ready for more, you can join me in the My Essential Birth course at myessentialbirth.com, where I take you step by step through exactly how to prepare your mind, body, spirit, and partner for a birth you love. So let's get started. It's time. The My Essential Birth postpartum course is here. Whether you're pregnant, just got baby home, or weeks and months into postpartum, this is the course for you. No more wondering what's normal for your body postpartum, if baby's eating or pooping enough, or how to get a good latch. You now have an all-in-one resource where you can click a topic and get the answer. Learn more at myessentialbirth.com/postpartum and add it onto the My Essential Birth course for even less when you bundle them at checkout. Already in the course? Check your student library and add the course for the same discount. I can't wait to support you on your postpartum journey. This week's reviewer of the week is KLSid86, and she says, the best birth podcast. I've listened to hundreds, if not thousands of hours of birth podcasts in the last 5 years. I'm pregnant with my second and a self-confessed birth nerd. I only recently found this podcast, and I have to say it's quickly become my favorite. A great mix of information and humor. I appreciate every episode. Thank you so much for that awesome review. You guys, if you're listening and you have not yet left a review, please do so. The emails that go out will have it in the very bottom how you can do that, or you can just head to Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Make sure that you scroll down once you click on this podcast, Pregnancy and Birth Made Easy. Scroll down, click the stars, write a review, and let me know if you did it, because I love to talk to you guys on the back end of things as well. This week, I have another awesome birth story for you guys, and I am so excited because we have Dad here as well. It is not as often as I would like that we get to hear from the dads, but I think it is extremely, extremely useful. So thank you both for being here today. And with that, Laura, will you take a moment and introduce both you and your husband?
Yeah, for sure. First off, thanks for having us. We're super excited. My name's Laura. This is Mark. We are from the States, but live in Japan right now. We've been here for about a year. And we work here as missionaries. We just had our first son, our first child, about
2 months ago.
Nine weeks today. Yeah.
Wow. Exciting, so fresh in your minds.
Yeah, seriously. It's still fresh there. So yeah, we took the My Essential Birth course starting about halfway through pregnancy, and it was just incredibly helpful for us to have, I think, the pregnancy and the birth that we wanted.
Awesome. Awesome. Mark, did you want to take a moment and introduce yourself at all? Anything extra you wanted to add to that?
Any fun facts?
Anything fun facts? Interesting? Man. I mean, I was a twin. And you Well, I am a twin. I was born as a twin, I guess.
Yes. Glad to hear you are still a twin. Yes. Yeah. That's awesome. I will take that fun fact. Well, I'm excited to hear this birth story today. I think it's always interesting to hear the difference of overseas and stuff too, and maybe some of the things that you guys walked through or conversations that you had that'll be maybe a little bit different from what we experience here in the States, maybe not. But with that, Laura, will you tell us a little bit about your pregnancy, kind of how it was from the beginning, if there's anything that stands out to you, any changes you had to make throughout, just kind of what that looked like for you?
Yeah, definitely. I don't feel like pregnancy was too out of the ordinary for me. First trimester, definitely morning sickness, like definitely 2 weeks of waking up and just throwing up, or like, I think once I just like looked at an avocado and threw up just by looking at it. It's like, I'm not having this.
Yeah. Any smell that was in the kitchen was like,
yeah,
no.
Yeah. He was so kind, and he always cleaned the kitchen very thoroughly.
Good husband.
Appreciated it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like wake up, first thing I do is like, all right, let's go get some crackers.
That's yeah, awesome. So you knew your roles.
You knew it. But really, other than that, I feel like pregnancy was as smooth as pregnancy can go, you know?
That's awesome.
Even into third trimester. So.
Yeah. Was there anything along the way, anything that like happened, or like any concerns that were brought up by your providers, changing of due dates, any like gestational diabetes or anything along the way that like stands out? Or was it just pretty
really
smooth
none
and
of
easy
that,
going?
Honestly, it was, yeah, none of that. I think I had a lot of concerns about our provider because they were so strict as far as like rules of what we could do for birthing and labor.
Yeah.
But other than that, like pregnancy itself was, yeah, fairly smooth besides the throwing up.
That's a blessing. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Talk to me about your provider a little bit then. What kind of provider did you have? Where were you planning to give birth and all of that?
Yeah, for sure. So I think part of it is because we're in Japan and things are just different culturally. I really wanted to give birth at a birth center here because they allowed the freedom of movement and were not so strict. But because of COVID, this was the only hospital that would allow him to be there for birth. And I knew that, like, I definitely needed him, especially in a different country and different culture, that he would be my support person 100%. And so we ultimately decided on a government public hospital here. It's just down the road, like 5 minutes, super close. But I had so many hesitations, like, honestly, I really wanted to switch. And especially in second trimester, I was just like debating so much about it. Like, what should I do? Like, I really just, I don't know. Like when I would bring my birth plan to them, they were very much like, we'll probably give you like an episiotomy. We'll probably like you'll have to birth laying down. Like you won't be able to move. Like they were very strict on different things, and I didn't know how much I should push, especially like as we have different cultures. And yeah, but yeah, sometime in second trimester, I think I just kind of came to a point where I was like, okay, like the thing that's really important to me is that Mark's there for the birth, I know he's going to be supporting me. And I'm just going to trust that this is going to be a good experience and that I'll make like the best of it. I'll keep presenting what I want to my hospital. And in the end, they honestly, like they let us do a lot of things that they said they wouldn't. So
that's awesome.
It ended up being a really good experience. Yeah.
So maybe you can walk me through some of those conversations with your provider. And was Mark, were you able to be at the prenatal appointments with her as well?
I mean, yeah, but my Japanese level is like elementary school baby.
Like, so were they speaking Japanese and Laura, you understood them? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So no translator. Got it.
Yeah, this was all in Japanese, and I would usually, I mean, if Mark didn't have to work, I would go, he would come with.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was all in Japanese because if we went to like a private hospital, I think they would have had translators, but it just wasn't.
Yeah, like our doctor, when he was doing the sonogram, was like, head, boop, 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 shoulders, and like knees and toes, like this guy's flexing like his little English skills and
yeah,
how happy about it.
The doctor would be so excited to use his English.
Yeah, he was fun.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. But did yeah, that- the
Oh, I was just wondering if that was like, if that was hard for you, Mark, like not understanding what the communication was or what was happening at all.
Yes and no. I mean, I guess a fun fact I could have put in at the beginning, I did study nursing. So I had been deliveries because my unit, like we have to rotate through OBGYN. And my mom was an OBGYN nurse for 15 years. So I'd seen deliveries before. So I had some experience and I wasn't like completely in the dark. If I didn't know anything about like giving birth and then I didn't know what they were saying, I'd been like, but I was stressing. They seemed like they were very professional and Laura speaks Japanese really well. And I could understand basic stuff. I'm like, oh, okay, maybe I'll ask her later. Is that what they said? Because I have no idea.
That's awesome. How neat. Okay. Well, how about the both of you then? How did you guys work together? How did Mark support you? Mark, how did you kind of like jump in and feel like you were really supporting her in preparation for the birth? So obviously you took the birth course together. Maybe you can talk about the amount of time or what you did together for that. But what did that look like for you guys?
Yeah. So I think for me personally, I really took like physical activity seriously. Like we usually work out anyway. So that was something that I wanted to concentrate on. So physical activity, which in the birth course, lots of suggestions for that, along with the suggestions of getting enough protein, which I think was very valuable. Like I said, we started taking the birth course about halfway through the pregnancy. I had been listening to the podcast, though, ever since we started trying for kids. So I knew that I really wanted to take it. But it was just helpful to go through it together to see, I don't know, how he could support me. Especially the practice activities were very helpful for us to be able to actually go through labor drills and have pretend contractions. I can't say we were always like the most serious about it, but we definitely like
did. You're not alone. My husband and I doing it was a total joke and we still did great during birth, so it's fine.
Yeah. I was like, oh, is this how it's gonna be?
Yeah, I mean, you have to be visualizing in your mind what the end one is actually going to be like. But if your personality is more easygoing and you're making everything serious, it's not going to be beneficial to you.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. Sure. Yeah. Were there things maybe within the course or even as you guys were talking, maybe on the podcast, Mark, that kind of stood out to you or that you were grateful for specific information or things that were really helpful for you in helping her prepare for birth?
We talked about this. But no. Sorry, it's like 6 a.m. here.
I know. I know. I appreciate it. I'm sorry. So early.
No, you're good.
What was the question? What things that from the course?
That was there anything that stood out to you or like knowledge or, you know, like a lot of times when dads take a birth course, you know, they're there reluctantly. They're like, fine, whatever. I love you. That's why I'm here. But somewhere along the way, they're like, oh, shoot, actually, that's pretty useful information. I'm glad I know XYZ. I feel more prepared because of. Were there any moments like that for you?
I mean, it's difficult because I also read another book and then with my having studied nursing at college. So I'm like kind of muddled in my mind as to when I learned what about. We read the Bradley Way, which I don't know if you've read it or not. It was like in my mind, like I know a lot of my thought process from like the different stages of labor were based on what they had said about like essentially relaxation stuff, making sure breathing is important. So I'm trying to like separate the birth course that we took and the Bradley Way. And then again, the nursing stuff, because I'm like, when we're going through it, Laura kept saying things like, oh, yeah, the Picatin. And I'm like, you mean Pitocin? Like,
the longest time.
Yeah, like it took her like, I don't know, 5 months of her to get a episiotomy. And I was like,
I can't say that word.
So, yeah.
I would say, though, that he became very passionate about like delayed cord clamping after the course.
Oh, for sure. It made so much sense to me. I was like, yeah, anyone who's not doing delayed cord clamping, like, I understand like the risk for jaundice is higher, especially within like the Asian community. However, like if it's not a high risk, like that's the baby's blood. Mm-hmm. And it makes sense that they wouldn't, like God would design the body not to give all the extra blood while it has to pass through the birth canal. and then I could give it to it afterwards. It's like, that's just logical sense. That just, and so yeah, I was like, oh yeah, I'm all about that, which was cool because our providers had said no. But then like the midwife we got was so chill. She was basically like, yeah, I'll do. And then she was even like showing the cord after a while, and she was like, okay. And I was like, yeah. Like, yeah, she was super nice.
That was like, yeah, one of the things that I really wanted. And in the moment that she was like, yeah, we'll let you have delayed cord clamping. And we're like, wow. Thank you.
That's awesome. Laura, were there things that you did kind of on a daily basis that you felt like prepared your body or your mind for birth?
Yeah, I would say especially going into third trimester when I was like, okay, this baby has got to come out. Like, I need to start like really, really working on this. I walked almost every day, exercise almost every day on a prenatal program, doing the squats, of course. Like I said before, trying to get as much protein as possible, really. Practicing breathing. Like every night I would take a bath with Epsom salts and just kind of set the scene for like, this is how I want to labor. And I would just practice breathing and connecting with my baby, and just kind of talking to my baby too, just trying to feel encouraged about how the birth would go. And then we also, leading up to birth, the last 2 weeks, practice on and off different contraction drills or whatever. So yeah.
That's awesome. Was there anything that you did coming up to kind of like right before your gest date in the way of like red raspberry leaf or eating dates or any like physical preparation that you did that way?
Yeah, I got you on this one. So dates. If you want to make like a Reese's peanut butter cup into a date treat, you basically cut the date in half. You put peanut butter and then you melt chocolate on top of that bad boy. Nom, 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 nom. Like,
that sounds good.
I was snacking on those. My cervix was so ripe. Like,
I was like, this is for my cervix. Stop eating my dates.
I was like, don't worry, I'll make more.
Okay, so for those that are listening, look for that recipe on Instagram this week so that you can also get your husband's cervixes ripe, as Mark said. Yeah. Yes.
You're so good.
That's awesome.
And besides that, raspberry leaf tea every day, for sure as well.
Very cool.
But the dates were more enjoyable.
I'm sure. Did you have any, like, as you came up to at birth, did you choose to, or is that common practice there? Did you have vaginal exams? Did they talk to you about any of your numbers, dilation, and all that kind of stuff? Did you have any idea what was happening inside before you went into labor?
So, something that's interesting about Japan is that they do ultrasounds every single time you go to the your prenatal appointment. So from the first week that we went, we had every time you get a transvaginal. Is that what it's called?
Mm. Oh, really? Every time?
And then every single time. Yeah, even up until before I gave birth. And then also,
were you able to say no to those? Or were they like, no, this is happening?
I'm not really sure. I was just like, okay, I guess this is how it is.
Yeah. Got it. Put you in that like amusement park chair and then that.
Like. Yeah. It's an interesting chair.
Awesome.
Yeah. And I think part of it too was because I haven't given birth in America. So I don't know what's typical. I just have heard from people that you don't get ultrasounds every single time. So leading up to the week, my last appointment before birth, they did the transvaginal ultrasound, and then he just did an exam and then told me that, it's hard to translate, that I was like slightly effaced, that I wasn't dilated at all, but that everything was in the right position, essentially, awesome. Ready to go. And so he was saying, like, maybe next week. At this point, this was a few days before my guest date. So.
Okay. Did he talk about induction at all? Like if you go to a certain number of weeks, or was that ever a conversation that you had?
They said the longest they would let me go would be 42 weeks. And so when I came to my appointment at the 39 weeks, just before I turned 40 weeks, they said, okay, your next appointment at 40 weeks and 5 days or whatever, we will talk about what could happen if you go to 42 weeks.
Okay. Okay, and then how about the labor? How about the birth?
So fun. No, but really. I think just to preface, labor and birth have been just one of my biggest fears my entire life. And so when we started trying for kids, I was super nervous. I was like, I just don't feel prepared. Like, I don't know what to do. I guess you just see like movies and Hollywood and you hear people's stories. And a lot of times people concentrate on the negative. But I really wanted to believe that it could be something that was beautiful and something that could grow me as a person and that would be memorable. So yeah, going into birth, I was just really nervous, honestly. But as far as labor, man.
Like, how did it all start?
Like, even before, before labor started, like, even, like, the conversation that Laura had with me that I feel like changed her mindset or that I recognized was a change that she recognized that, like, the female body is essentially designed to give birth. And that it's, like, this isn't something that's, like, foreign or unnatural, that it's actually very natural. And then, like, having the conversation of, like, the reason that it's so difficult is to, like, essentially draw you closer to God. It's, like, why that's, like, the thing that's put on women to be painful and hard is that it's, like, yeah, it's meant to be difficult because it forces dependence on God, which is why, like, the earth's hard to work for men, because if we don't have to actually work, we become prideful and think we're of ourselves as the greatest thing on the planet. And it actually pushes us back to God. For like women, it's the same thing. And since her body was designed to do it, when she got that mind shift, it became more of like a, oh, like my body can do this. It was made to do this. And it's going to be an experience that like pushes me towards God. So it's going to be a good thing, you know?
That's really neat. Like maybe take me from the beginning, maybe what that very first contraction looks like all the way through the labor.
Yeah. Leading up to birth, I had quite a bit of like Braxton Hicks, and I tend to get stomach aches pretty easily anyway. So I honestly can't say when like labor began. We had just gotten his parents from the airport the night before. And the next day we were taking them out for errands, like around the area to get like SIM cards and food and stuff like that. And I started feeling kind of like crampy, but really because of the Braxton Hicks and everything, I was just like, you know, this is probably just same old, really didn't think anything of it.
How many weeks were you, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, I think it, at that point I was 40.
40 and 40 or something like that.
Oh, wow.
I'm sorry. 40 and 4 days, which is actually very interesting because the doctor gave me the due date of the 11th. But my app that tracked my ovulation gave me the due date of the 15th, and he was born on the 16th.
Oh, like, that's awesome.
That's crazy.
That's cool.
So, like, labor started on the 15th, and then he was born on the 16th. But, yeah, first started getting some cramps, but they really weren't, like, anything that I thought anything of. We came back home. Mark had to do some work, some teaching, and I started feeling crampier. So after he's done teaching about 6 o'clock, I came downstairs and I was like, hey, I think I might be in labor, but I don't know, like, because I've had Braxton Hicks, like a couple nights before I had, I don't know if it was prodromal labor or what, but it was just very consistent, like every 10 minutes for a couple hours. And so he was just like, okay, let's just see what happens. Like it could be, you know, it could just be a fluke. And I was like, okay. And so I started making dinner for everybody and was putting these pizzas together. And honestly, by 6:30, like his dad made a joke and I was like, I want to punch you in the face right now. Like, please do not joke right now.
That's when you start taking it seriously.
And that's when I was like, oh, maybe this is labor. I think this is real. I like just could not even stand while I was making the pizza. So I just threw them into the oven and I was like, Mark, I'm going to go take a bath, which is part of my labor plan was to go into the bath. And I thought that I would really enjoy and how I practiced for a long time. But actually, I really hated it when I got in.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think it was because I hadn't fully comprehended that I was in labor. And I think there was a big part of me that was like, because I was so scared of birth and labor, I was like, no, I can't do this. Like, I'm not ready for this at all. So I remember Mark came up soon after I got into that. And I was like, am I being a baby? Like, is this like, these are so intense. Like, I really can't describe them. I don't know that I would describe them as painful, but I think all I can describe them is this just like intense wave that just kind of like overtakes you. And I was like, why? Like, I'm being a baby. I got like 20 more hours of this. How am I going to do this? But we didn't have 20 more hours.
No.
At all.
Yeah, do you remember? Hopped out of the.
Oh, I was just going to ask Laura, do you remember? Because I know moms are always curious what it feels like. When you're talking about intensity, was it like higher up in the abdomen, lower down? Was it in your back, your sides? Do you remember where you felt contractions?
I would say at that point, higher up in the abdomen. Higher up in the abs.
Got it.
Not in the back. In the back, not lower. Yeah, I really wish I could describe it better, but I don't know. I wouldn't describe it as pain, but just intense.
Yeah. Sorry, Mark. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead with what your thought was.
Yeah. Well, no worries. Cause like when she was in the bath again, we were like, yeah, pretty sure this is labor. So we hopped out and decided to like time some of the contractions. And then it was like, can I double check those numbers we're supposed to be looking for? Because like, this seems like this is over a minute and these are
3-4 minutes.
Four minutes apart. Was that not when we're supposed to go to the hospital?
Isn't it 3-1-1?
Like, in our minds, we had planned for like laboring at home. That's why she was saying 20 hours of this. We're like, we had planned to be at home for, you know, 5 or 6 hours or whatever it was going to be. But that window wasn't going to be 20 minutes. Like, we didn't expect it to be a short, like, oh, we're going to only be here for a little bit and then we're going to go to the hospital. And then, you know, 5 hours later, we're going to have a baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was fast and furious.
Okay.
Tokyo Drift.
So yeah, take me through there. So you get out of the tub.
Yeah, so we got out of the tub. We're trying to time contractions, which we had practiced, but when you're in the moment, it's like, how does this app work? Like, what are we doing?
Yeah. Like, when do we technically, when does it start? How do you like,
I think it's at the beginning.
I feel nothing. It's supposed to be.
Yeah, he like feels nothing. I'm like feeling everything. So I'm like, I think it's So we called his mom up, who was, like he said, an OBGYN nurse for a long time. And so she helped us. And she's like, you're at like 3.5-4 minutes apart, like at least a minute. I think you should call the hospital, especially because I had to be the one to call the hospital to talk to them and to check in and everything. So I was like, what? Like, I was just in so much shock because I thought we were going to have so much time at home. I had all these things planned. Mark had set up. Like, what did you
do? Like candles, turn the lights down.
He had set up the whole scene.
Yeah, get in the mood.
Like, I was so prepared for hours at home. And
well, sort of. She says she was prepared. But yeah, at this point, she looks at me and she's like, hey, can you finish packing my bag? I'm like, we talked about this a month ago. I look at That's it and I'm awesome. Like, you got more stuff in this bag than I would take on a 6-month hiking trip.
I just want to say, in my defense,
accurate for a lot of moms.
In Japan, you stay, depending on the hospital, my hospital was a week long stay at the hospital.
Wow.
And so if I was packing for a week long trip, like one, I'm going to pack a lot of stuff too. I'm going to pack it all at the last second, you know?
True. And she was worried about the food situation. It was going to be like overly Japanese flavors in everything. And so she was snacking hard.
I knew after birth that I would want comfort food. So I had packed a lot of food.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so, and also I thought we would have more time to labor, so I thought I would have like 10-minute apart contractions and I could finish packing my bag then, but no, that was not the case.
Yeah.
Okay, so go ahead and take me through some more of your labor.
Yeah, so after that, I called the hospital. Mm. Mark finished packing up, thank God. He was like, I don't know. I'm just going to throw stuff together.
Stuff it all
like,
in here. Okay.
And then, yeah, we went down to the car. And I remember when I went down to the car, his mom, because she was a nurse on a labor and delivery unit, she just gave me a hug. And she was like, just trust that your providers want the best for you. Trust that they want what's best for you and for the baby. And I think that's something that I really needed to hear because I had spent so long just kind of being unsure of my providers and being like this is the only choice I feel like we have because Mark, I want Mark there, but yeah. So in the end, like that really, I feel like helped shape my perspective when she said that. And then on the way to the hospital, I was just kind of voicing my fears to Mark. And I was like, can I do this? Like, can I give birth? Can I, like, I'm already in labor and this seems like pretty intense. And I still in my mind thought we had hours and hours to go. And he pretty much said, if you bought the ticket, you have to ride the train. Yeah.
You bought the ticket, now you got to ride the ride.
And I was just like, I cannot with you right now. Who are you? But then he said lots of sweet things after that. But he had to have a sarcastic comment. And then once we got to the hospital, something that was really like impactful for me was as we were walking through the parking lot, I started having a contraction, so I just kind of paused, and it started snowing, or it was already snowing, I guess. I just didn't notice. And where we are in Japan, it snows, but not really that often. Like, I'm from Minnesota. Like, I love snow. I love the big, just snowflakes. I love when it snows at night specifically, just because it's so peaceful, and I always feel like my worries are just so little, and that they don't really matter. And so as I was going through that contraction and I just saw the snow coming down, I was like, okay, like, I think I can do this. Like, I think that I was made for this, and I believe that this can be a good experience, and that despite everything that I've heard about birth, that this can be something that we'll remember for like the rest of our lives in a positive light. So we went into the hospital. They checked us in. I had to take a COVID test. So the first hour was like 45 minutes hour was spent laying down, just side laying. They did a cervical exam at that point. And they said I was 3 centimeters. So then after the COVID exam was done, they allowed us freedom of movement, which was really nice. They were like, okay, here's a portable monitor, like do what you need to do. And I was like, oh, seriously, thank you. So we just really got into a good rhythm. We just did like this routine of like walking the hallway, when I needed to stop and just breathe. Then we would go back to the room, and they had like this little chair that you could bend over to squat. So I did some of that, and then I would eat a cracker and drink water, and then I would go to the bathroom, and then we would keep that going. So
yeah, like a circuit.
Yeah, we just did a circuit, which I think helped me because I'm very much like, if I have something to do, then I feel like I'm like progressing. So it helped me to be like, okay, I got like one round done. Like, I got this down. So we did that for about an hour, I would say. And then the monitor needed charging. And so they were like, can you do some side laying? And while we charge your monitor, we can just plug it in. I was like, okay. So I lay down. And then this is where I feel like things just got even more intense. Like, 2 contractions in, my water broke. I don't know. I really did not know that there was going to be that much water. Honestly, I was like, where's all this water coming from? And how does it keep coming? Like, I have no idea.
Yeah.
So my water broke. I told Mark to get
She's like, go there. I'm like, okay. And I was like,
I told him the Japanese word, but he,
like, I was like, that registers as nothing right now. I know the word for water is mizu, and I know outside trip because I do judo is osotogari. And I'm like, mizu osoto, like water's
literally
outside.
Water outside. Like, they were probably like, okay, who's this guy? So she came in, and I asked for an exam because I was like, these are super intense. And she said I was at 5 centimeters. And at that point, they got so intense that I had heard of this, but I literally felt that my uterus was pushing, and I felt like his feet pushing against the uterus. And I was like, why is this happening? Like, I really didn't know what to do. And I felt like I need to push. She had told me I was only 5 centimeters. So I asked her, I was like, you said I'm 5 centimeters, but I'm feeling the urge to push, and this is what is happening. And she was like, you can't push. And so honestly, that was so hard for me that I couldn't work with my body. And I don't know. And at the moment, like when you're having contractions, I feel like you can't think logically, like, oh, maybe I should try moving. Maybe I should get up and try this position. You're just like, I'm just laying here and I'm trying to breathe. I'm trying my best to breathe. But the nurse was very helpful. She did counter pressure for like 2 hours. Like, she was so sweet.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that was from like, at that point, that was 10:30 to like 12:30 a.m. And I would say some of the most intense part of the contractions, just because I couldn't work with my body.
Yeah, and I would say in that window, like from when we got to the hospital till this point, as like the partner, just being ahead of the contractions, which like it means nothing to you right now, but like it will when you're into it, like making sure that she's ready for them when they're coming so that she's relaxed and in the good, like peaceful mindset before they show up. Because if you're late on trying to become like restful and peaceful and knowing that it's going to happen, like, I don't know, like the anxiety or like you just get like she would just grimace where it was like, clearly we're not with it. I don't know if that makes sense, but if you got it beforehand, it was like, yeah, just be chill. Like it's coming. Okay. Relax. Good. Deep in breath out. Good. Let your like shoulders relax. Let your knees relax. Sink into the bed. Like go with it. Good. We're moving with it. It's like the ocean. Just flow with it. Keep going. Good, good, good. You're doing great. Like if you get it and like you're ahead of it, you're great. If you get behind it, the good news is you're only behind it for that set. It's only going to be the one time where it might be a little bit different. And the next time you get ready, that's like the beauty of it. It does just comes in waves. It's like how it's designed to happen. But like as a partner, trying to be ahead of it, knowing that it's coming and making sure your partner feels relaxed and is ready for the contraction that's coming so that she's not anxious when it's there. It's that she's relaxed and in a good place. So she's essentially breathing through it. Like if I were like talking about it from exercising, it'd be more like doing yoga as opposed to lifting. You're trying to relax your body to like stretch it out and let your body do work versus like when you're about to do big lifting, which is what the pushing side of it is.
Yeah, I'm really glad you shared that, actually. I don't know that there's any better advice when you're talking about the technicalities of how to work with a woman during labor than what you just explained. Were there things, were you keeping track of it on the timer? Were you watching the monitor or were you watching mom? What told you it's coming again? How am I going to prep her? And it sounded like you were doing a lot of verbal cues. Did you have any hands-on things and stuff that you were doing with that? Like, tell me a little bit about that process.
I mean, looking back on it, I didn't have the timer there. It was more of an internal clock, knowing that these are coming about this far apart. And then going from cues based on how Laura was moving, what she was doing, like, I don't know, just sensing it. I don't know how else to describe it. Like, you know it's coming. And like, as long as you're like aware. And then in the time between contractions, just trying to like soft rubs or hand-holding, verbal encouragement. Whatever your wife likes to hear naturally. So if she wants to be told that she's beautiful, tell her that she's beautiful. Like she's in the moment when she like she needs to be told that she's loved. Just like remind her of that. And yeah, just go with the natural rhythm of it. I don't, if you're not someone who is naturally inclined to keep time, like maybe use the stopwatch, but then you have to be watching two things, which could be difficult. So if you're going to do it that way, I would practice it, which sounds weird because that's not my natural inclination. I don't like to practice a lot of stuff. Like you'd have to look at both, me being like aware. But if you're not, like just focusing on how she's doing, and then you'll get the feel of it. Like you'll be a part of like what the rhythm is, because it is, it's just a rhythm. It's an ebb and flow.
Yeah, that's perfect. I love that you described it that way. And I love that you were able to, that you weren't looking at other things, that you were watching mom, because that's real. If you are paying attention to mom, you'll see it. And she will give those little cues, like meet the way that she takes that first breath when she's going into one, or her body was relaxed and you can see the movement right before she gets ready for a contraction. There are minimal cues right there at the beginning that tell you like, here we go again. And you kind of just sounds like you rise up and you stand as a rock for her and walk her through that process. And that's really excellent, you guys. That I love it because I feel like I'm in the room, and then it makes me like literally want to be there and just watch you guys do your magic, because clearly you were able to work together, and that's huge. That's awesome.
Yeah. So then about 12:30 a.m., they said I could push. They didn't do an exam. They said typically that they don't do cervical exams when you come in, that they'd base it on where the baby's heartbeat is and kind of where your contraction's at and where you're at. I just kept requesting them because I was like, surely I can push now. I was just in such a like trying to get to that point of like, I'm ready to push. So they finally said at 12:30, like you can push. And I just honestly, like my contractions kind of
fizzled.
Yeah, fizzled. And I know they talked to y'all talked about that in the birth course of like that the contractions can kind of come to a point where they are like not as intense, just to give your body a rest, like kind of a natural way. So I was mentally prepared for that and I knew that, but I think because I had such intense contractions that literally I felt my body pushing him, I was very confused and was just kind of like, what do I do? And then this is kind of also where I felt some pressure from my provider, where they're like, okay, let's get you. Like they had me on the table thing.
The bed chair thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
You in the park, right?
Yeah. And they're like, okay, we're going to start pushing. And I was like, I don't know that I'm ready to push, honestly. But I just tried to like breathe through the contractions and work with them as best I could. Like if I felt a contraction that was more like, okay, this is, I can push with this, and I would. If I didn't, I would just breathe through it and just let it happen. And at first I was just laying down, but then I really wasn't.
My feet up in the stirrups.
But nothing was really progressing. So finally I asked the midwife, I was like, can I side lay? Like, are you okay with that? And she said, yeah. So I went on my side and I was so grateful that she let me do that.
Well, yeah, I mean, like the nurse, like the midwife was like having experienced American healthcare providers. I don't think you're going to get a random midwife who's like, yeah, throw your foot up on my shoulder. And she let it on there for like 45 minutes. Yeah, I was so, like,
because my leg was just floating there. So she's like, oh, put it on my back.
Yeah, put it on my back. And she's like leaning, holding her leg up. And I was like, how many babies do you deliver? Like
200.
There's no way you could be taking someone's leg every time this happens. She was fantastic.
Yeah. And when you're in contractions, like one contraction, or I don't know, an hour feels like 3 minutes maybe. And so I thought it had only been one contraction or two. And Mark was like, no, that was good 45 minutes.
We were there for
a
solid 45 minutes with your foot on her. Yeah, she's awesome.
So I did some side laying, first on the left and then on the right. And when I was on my right side was when his head started to show. And it took like from the time that his head started to show to when he was born, which was when his head came out. Because I just pushed him off.
Oh, is that what happens? The baby comes out when he's born? Wow.
It was 45 minutes. And so at some point in the side laying, they were like, we're going to have to give you something, Pitocin.
I was hoping you were going to say Picatin.
I was. They're like, we're going to have to give you Pitocin to like get this moving because it's been so long. And that's when I wanted to stay in the side laying, or I wanted to get in a different position because I knew I was just not really still wasn't really feeling with the contractions, but I was like, okay, I need to like get to work because I don't want Pitocin. Like I just want to like have this baby. So I just flipped over and then we started pushing again. And then he was born like, I don't know, 20 minutes later or something like that. But yeah, at that point, I was just so exhausted. I was falling asleep in between contractions. Like Mark would have to like wake me up. But something that like really touched me was how invested Mark was like in it. Like as soon as they saw the head and Mark looked over and he saw the head, I could hear Mark like trying not to cry. Like every single time he was coaching me through a contraction, I could hear him like tearing up and he would just be like, oh, that was so beautiful. Like you pushed so well. Like that was so good. Or like if I didn't push, he was like, that's okay. Like just wait for like when you feel like it's right. Like he was just so encouraging about it. And I was glad because I had a lot of emotions about the whole everything going on. But then hearing him like also emotionally invested meant a lot.
Yeah, I would say for partners, like emotionally, it's obviously it's a new experience. It's unlike anything you've experienced before because you can't like replicate it. But if the first like part of laboring is like trying to get them to relax and breathe through it and be like, let their body do work. When they get to the pushing side of it, if you're a guy who's ever worked out at the gym, honestly, like you're ready to teach them how to push. Cause it was like the weirdest experience where I'm like, hold on a second. I say this exact same thing to my brother and my friend at the gym. Like this is the exact same setup. Cause you want them to get like a good deep breath where they're ready to push heavy weight because they're, and then it's okay, not this one, wait, breathe through it, be like, and then, oh, now it's time to push. So you get them on the good, cause you don't want to be like empty breath when you're trying to make a big lift. Cause then when you like you're just gonna die, like you can't, like so like make sure she gets like, again, it's like it's timing the contraction because the cue you're going off of Laura, who's going off her body, what her body's doing to birth the baby. So you're reading those cues, making sure she's got good breaths so she's ready to push, and then making sure she gets on a good in, and then it's push, 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 push. Just like you're pushing weight. Push, 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 push. Good, good, push, push. Good, now get a breath. All right, good, go again, again, push, push, push. But it's literally the exact same thing you would say to your friends who are lifting at the gym. Like emotionally, again, completely different. You're in a different space emotionally. But if you remember that, like, you've coached someone through pushing before, it is very similar. It was eerily similar to pushing, like, if you're getting your friend to, like, try to get a good bench press or, like, hit a good squat. It's the same. Like, you want to make sure that they're in a good mindset, ready to move the weight. They want to be, obviously, breathing. They want to have an in-breath, which they'll know that. But, like, reminding her to breathe and have that full breath. And then it's the push out where it's not like, it's like a, like, and you, again, right. If you've ever worked out at the gym, you know what that should look like and sound like. So trying to get her to do that will help her to, like, essentially use the muscles that she's using to push out the baby. And just so you know, you're aware and can do that because you've done it before in a very different but very similar situation. And I was, like, shocked when I was like, hold on a second. This is the exact same thing that I do at the gym. This is the weirdest experience.
Sorry. That's awesome. And it's like Laura had mentioned before, like, having something to focus on was probably really helpful, you know, during that pushing stage. So that's really neat. How did you feel, like, through that pushing stage? Was it comfortable? Would you describe it as painful? Like, how was that for you? And then once baby was born?
Yeah, I would describe a lot of burning. Honestly, I think because they had me laying down, it was more painful than I expected. Well, I don't know. Maybe I was kind of expecting it because I knew they wanted me to lay down. But just because I couldn't find a different position to find relief, I was having more burning, more just really intense sensation. Like, I was telling Mark later, I was like, kept thinking, surely his head can't be any bigger than this. Like, surely his head will come out now. Like, there's no way. And because it took so long, I feel like his head was just there.
Yeah, it was there forever.
But I honestly, reflecting on all of it, I think that if I had been able to use different positions, that I could have found relief in that. Like, I truly believe that. Eventually I was able to push his head out, and then I knew I was supposed to take, like, a contraction or two for the shoulders, but I was just like, I'm so tired. I don't even know if I was having a contraction. I think I just pushed him out. I think I was like, I'm tired. Like, I'm ready. And so I actually didn't tear at all with his head. And they That's didn't awesome. Give me episiotomy, even though they said they probably would. But I tore a little with his shoulders, they said, in the end. But after he was born, I was just shaking so much. I don't know. Mark was saying it was something with the hormones changing, probably.
Yeah,
but then also
totally
the
normal
experience, you know. Right. I could not stop shaking. I was kind of scared to hold him. It was so surreal, honestly, as he came out and then as I handed him to me. I was like, wow, like, I'm a mom. Like, I really didn't know how to wrap my mind around that. And I remember asking the nurses, like, can I be a mom? Like, do I have the abilities to be a mom? And they were like, you already are. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, the nurses were so great.
They were so sweet, honestly, like, in the end. And then we just got to spend some time together. Unfortunately, because of COVID, Mark couldn't visit me the week in the hospital, which was, like, a huge, huge bummer. Like, I was.
Yeah, my birthday was the next day.
His birthday was the next day.
My birthday and see the baby.
So we were so sad. But they said he would have an hour that he could spend with me and the baby after he was born. But the nurse let us.
For as long as I was.
Yeah. Like, he could have stayed longer, but it was like 5 a.m. and we were both, like, falling asleep by the time he left.
Yeah.
The nurses were really funny with talking about the baby, just like, oh, he was so wise. Why would you consider a baby to be wise? And she's like, because he waited for your parents to come, and when his head was coming, he went slowly.
So the mom he took such a long time.
He's such a wise baby.
Yeah,
I was like, that's so cute.
Sweet. Yeah,
that's
he was
sweet.
Super popular at that hospital.
Well, yeah, only a white baby born there this year.
Yeah, the only foreign baby.
I did have that thought, though, actually, just earlier, not necessarily about your baby being wise, but about our how your body works when, like you said, your parents came, and there is something there, even subconsciously, of, like, that comfort of, like, okay, like now I we have the help here. Or it's interesting how you see that's like a pretty common occurrence when situations happen like that, where it's like this person arrives or something happens that you were waiting for, and it's like now we can have the baby, and it just kind of all works together like that. So that's pretty neat. I like that a lot. Anything else you want to add before I ask you about your very best advice for moms and dads?
I don't think so. I mean, I think what I'm thinking of, I think, would go into very best advice, actually.
Okay, but let's hear it then.
Yeah, so after the birth, especially the few days afterwards, I just really didn't know if I enjoyed the experience, to be honest. Afterwards, I was just kind of like, wow, that was very challenging, and I didn't really, I don't know if I enjoyed it. And so my best advice for women who just gave birth is to process your birth experience. Like, I know that's easier said than done when it comes to like having time with a new baby, or even just sometimes maybe you don't want to process it. Maybe it's something like can have a painful memory. But I would really encourage women to process it, because I think that your birth story has a lot of power. And if you allow yourself to process and think about and reflect on it, what about it didn't I not like? What did I like about it? What was beautiful? What was hard? Why was it hard? I think that can help, it at least helped me step into a lot of freedom into my birth story, and help me understand better too. Like, if we have kids in the future, like, how can I labor better, and then also birth better? Like, how can I work more with my body? So yeah, in the end, like, honestly, I love our birth. I love our labor, as hard as it was, as like challenging as it was, and the random things that came up that I wasn't really expecting. I would say that it was one of my favorite experiences.
That's awesome. Do you have, Laura, what would you say to dads that are listening from mom's perspective? What would be your advice for them?
Yeah, just stay by your side. Honestly, I think everybody feels love in different ways. For me, I'm very much words of encouragement, and Mark knew that. So we weren't very physical. We were just talking about it. We weren't super physically touchy. Like, he was like, did I ever give you a massage? I was like, I don't think so. But that's not like what I...
This guy dabbed your head.
Yeah, I was like, that's not what maybe I held your hands. Like, yeah. So just know your wife, know how she feels loved. And like Mark said, like in that moment, like that's really what she needs, is that support, to know that she's not alone, to know that you're a part of it, and also like invested in it as well. So even if it's just something simple like offering her water, it honestly means so much in the moment when he's looking out for you.
I like that. How about you, Mark? What's your best advice for moms and for dads?
While giving birth or for having a kid?
Anything, any part of this, the preparation, you tell me.
I mean, for like the dads, if you've never seen a birth, I mean, the experience might help. Like, you should probably sit through and watch a birth happen so you have a general feel for what the event is, and so you're not like, whoa, what's that like? Because I was like, okay, where are we at with the baby process? Like, I've seen babies come out, oh cool, I can see that, awesome, things are going well, like, so you know what the natural feel. But I also learned from doing things, so it's like it might help to see it done. But yeah, like Laura was saying, just know your partner. You're there to support them. Like, you're taking your cues off of what her body's naturally made to do. And if you know what you're expecting, like, you can kind of just be along for the ride too.
Yeah. How about for moms? Was there anything that Laura did? Maybe she had you listen to certain podcasts. You sat down and did the birth course together. Were there things, ways that she communicated things to you that you would recommend for other women to be willing to do to dads as well, or for dads as well?
Yeah, I feel like don't shame your husband into saying you're not doing, like, you're not doing the reading. Like, you're not, they're not a part of this. You're not, because then he's not going to make him want to do it less. Like, and he might be immature in the fact that he doesn't want to do the homework. I mean, let's be honest, most guys go through school never wanting to do the homework. So like, figuring out how that works for you as a couple, like, does she need to remind you? Is it like a contentious point in your relationship because you're not doing the stuff you should be doing? Guys, just do it. It's going to be better for you. Like, learn what's happening. Like, if you're actually going to be a partner in it, like, what kind of guy would start a business with a partner who doesn't know the first thing about the field that he's going into? So just, it is just, you have to do some work. There is like some upfront stuff, but it's worth it. Like, you don't feel like you're completely immature and ill-equipped. So like, don't put it on your wife to nag you to do it. But wives, don't shame your husbands for like, oh, you said you wanted to be do this. Like, you're not doing, you haven't done this part of the reading. Like, you have to eventually do it. And then just practicing the different stages. Like, you can put that off for a bit, but it's going to get to the point where it's game day. And if you haven't done the practice, like, you're, it's going to be a harder game than it could have been. So just knowing that, you can put it off for a bit, but eventually, like, if you're listening to this and you feel like maybe I should do it, you probably should do it. If you're at the point where it's like, oh, maybe it should be now, it should be now, because you never know when like that birth could happen. So don't keep saying like, oh yeah, we have time, we have time, because before you realize it, you're packing your bags.
when your wife is in labor.
Yeah.
Good advice. Good advice. And a great birth story. Thank you both for joining me here today. I really enjoyed the time, and I know other people will
too.
Thanks so much. Awesome.
Thanks.
Thanks for having us.
Yes.
If you loved what you heard today, the very best way to support this podcast and help other moms to find it is to leave a quick review. I read one at the beginning of the episodes, and I would love for yours to be next. And if you're ready for even more pregnancy, birth, and postpartum goodness, come join me in the My Essential Birth course at myessentialbirth.com, where I will hold your hand and walk you through pregnancy and birth step by step, so you're totally prepared for a birth you'll love. See you next week.